Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast, where you'll learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secure retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in. Because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlotnik, and today it is my pleasure and a privilege to welcome Sean Kastelein. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for joining. Sean is a managing director for capital raising or private equity at Tuscan Gardens, senior living fund and a senior living company, I guess.
So we
haven't had on this podcast a guest in this community yet, so I'm delighted to have Sean. We'd love to hear what's the latest and greatest. We're obviously recording this in the middle of a pandemic, and the senior living or assisted living community has been deeply impacted. Before we jump into that, let's talk a little bit about Sean and family, kids, cats, wives, dogs.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I got all of the above, right? So I've got, actually I grew up in Central Florida. That's where I live now, just outside of Orlando. But yeah, I've been married for going on 24 years. Have
congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it. I have two wonderful boys. They're now, one's in high school, one's in college, but the younger one's going to graduate from high school this year. And then we got three Australian Shepherds. So we're dog lovers, and yeah, my wife seems to keep adding them. They keep multiplying every time I come home, you know, but
that's great. Yeah. It's like five kids. You're almost the same with me because I have four kids and a cat. You got two kids and and three dogs.
Yeah. My wife likes to joke, you got six boys in the house. You know, she's taken pretty good care of. But yeah, I grew up in Central Florida, went to the University of Florida, and so did my wife. And kind of a local yokel as that applies, you know.
That's great. That's nice and warm in comparison to New York. And we're chatting before the call.
I told you earlier, it's like
a lot of snow here.
Yeah.
Just came out of the snow shoveling exercise. It's kind of both fun and hard labor.
So. I think I need to get you down for a due diligence trip, you know, down to Tuscan Gardens in sunny Florida.
Yeah, enjoy the nicer climate. And that's so funny here. My good friend just moved to Florida. He moved to Miami area, and he says he doesn't regret the snow. The older you get, the more the snow gets to you. So I guess he gets soft, that's why people love Florida. You don't see too much snow or ever.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work shoveling that snow. Keep you in shape, but yeah, as you get older, I'm sure there's only one way to get rid of it, right? You got to shovel it and get it out of there. So. You don't get that in Florida too much.
That's right. So now let's talk a little bit about senior living, assisted living. Could you give the overview of what your company does, what you do, just a little bit of that?
Yeah, just an overview. So Tuscan Gardens is a developer of luxury senior living communities, and we've acquired three communities and we've developed three. We specialize in independent living, assisted living, and memory care. We have a nice transition of care for our loved ones. We don't do skilled nursing. We can, have a resident who needs skilled nursing. We can give them services through what's called an ECC license. But again, we primarily work in the independent living, assisted living, and memory care areas. And, you know, obviously we're primarily based out of the state of Florida. We do have a piece of property up in Columbia, South Carolina, which will be our first development project outside the state. But with all the, you know, baby boomers, you know, going into those retirement years and getting into their upper age classes where they're going to need senior care, we're more than happy to focus on the state of Florida.
That's great to hear. So what's a typical, client, I don't know what you, or resident, what's the average age? How long do they stay? Is this, you know, I hate to say this, but this is the last part of their life is basically they go to the senior living, assisted living when they can't handle things on their own. Is that how it typically works?
Yeah. I mean, typically, a lot of folks are now looking at independent living as that first stage. I mean, they want to live in a place where, you know, they have amenities. They don't have to worry about a yard. You know, most residents in independent living do still drive and are able to get around. But, you know, the late 70s, early 80s is typically where we see folks, you know, considering senior living. And now that we've seen the life expectancies going up, that number has been pushed out a little bit. But that's, you know, typically late 70s, early 80s is the demographic that we're targeting.
Got you. Okay. How long what's an average stay? I mean, obviously you want people to live as long as they can and stay as long as it's possible, but what's the average? I'm just curious how the business works.
You know, the average stay is really only about 3 years. But, you know, one of the reasons we have that continuation of care is, you know, if somebody enters through independent living, they may live with us for, you know, 7 to 10 years. However, you know, with a loved one that goes into a memory care room with Alzheimer's, you know, they're probably a year and a half to 2 years average. So somewhere in that 3, maybe 4 year range, again, life expectancies are, you know, increasing. So those stays tend to get longer, but it really depends where the senior would join our community.
That makes a lot of sense. It's actually much longer than I expected. 3 years is very substantial time. So what about, just curious again about the economics of the business, who pays? Is it self-paid? Is there any insurance that pays for people stay?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we're a luxury brand, so it's all self-pay. You know, we do accept long-term care insurance policies. A lot of, you know, the older baby boomers do have some really great coverage from way back in the days. You know, we don't take Medicaid. So Medicaid would be, hey, if a senior spends down all their assets, you know, then Medicaid would come in and kick in. And that's, you know, one of the areas we do see that is probably a concern for the government is that there's so many baby boomers coming through the system. Most of them have saved, you know, a good amount of money, but the ones that haven't are going to get picked up by Medicaid. That's going to put a lot of pressure on Medicaid down the road. Not Medicare, but Medicaid. So it's certainly something to consider. And one of the things we see in our communities too, Mike, is, you know, a lot of seniors will pay part of it, but then the family members will kick in as well because they need the services, you know, that our communities provide. So there's kind of a blend thereof, you know.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. What's a typical monthly pay? What do they have to pay to stay in the community?
We average about 4,000 to 4,100 a month for assisted living, and that typically would be around 3,400 to enter. And then there's some costs for, you know, levels of care. And for memory care, we're pretty consistently around 6,000 a month. You know, it's funny when I do, you know, presentations to investors, when I say 6,000 a month, some investors say, "Well, you know, who can afford that?" When I tell somebody from New York, it's 6,000 a month, they're like, "What a bargain!" I mean, because the cost of living in New York is so much more expensive, and you know, Boston, those big cities. So it's kind of funny to see the reaction. But it's, you know, market clearing. We're always going to be in that upper quartile of the industry as far as pricing, but also, you know, as far as amenities and levels of care and things like that as well.
Yeah, it makes sense. There's certainly kind of a crisis coming as this population ages and the life expectancy increases. The demand for this type of product is growing, as because you said, as baby boomers are aging. The challenge is affordability, of course. It's one of the you mentioned. It's going to be a huge issue. But for every 20 or 30 people who can't afford it, there's probably one or two people who can't afford it. So you can cater to those who can afford it. And you're right. If somebody's coming out of New York and they sell house they've lived in for 30 years, the chances are they have the ability to actually pay for this if they, you know, if they're in Florida. So.
Well, and there's a couple of things I point out too on the industry. I mean, the industry is really going to benefit from two waves because right now we're talking about the baby boomers, but the first baby boomer didn't turn 75 until last year. So as they're retiring and say coming down to Florida, if they have a mom or a dad or a loved one that needs care and they live in New York, well, they're probably going to bring them down to Florida to get that care. They're not going to put them in a community in New York because they want to be closer to their parents and be able to visit them. So, you know, right now the industry is really being driven by the baby boomers, but their parents need for care. And then really what we're looking at the next phase is probably really going to kick in over the next 5 to 10 years. And that's really when the baby boomers themselves, you know, start to need a lot more care. So it's a really interesting industry to see those, you know, different kind of waves that are rolling through.
Yeah, got you. So let's switch and talk a little bit about COVID impact. How have your communities been doing during COVID? Have you been able to safely protect residents? How has been the occupancy during COVID? And I guess, and what do you see going forward? Are you able to immunize your communities at this time, or is it going in that direction?
No, it's those are great questions. I mean, obviously 2020 was you know, probably hurt our industry more than any industry in the entire country, maybe the world. So, you know, for us, we shut down our communities, or I should say lockdown, not shut down, lockdown our communities 2 weeks prior to the state of Florida and Ron DeSantis, our governor, shutting down senior living facilities. So we were early to the game, wanted to keep our residents safe. We were shut down for 6 months. So definitely hurt occupancy, because when you look at the senior living industry, Mike, you typically on a normal year are going to rotate your residents to the tune of about 40%. I mean, we're dealing with older demographics and obviously people passing on, or maybe, you know, graduating into, you know, skilled nursing. So, you know, all of our facilities were locked down for 6 months. We did a great job, you know, keeping our residents safe. We had our first two cases were in June, and both of those residents, different communities, you know, actually had to go to the hospital for unrelated issues and came back with COVID. So, you know, again, we worked very hard to keep our residents isolated. You know, as you know, it's a very hard thing to keep anybody isolated. But when you're talking about seniors who need engagement, it was very hard in the industry, not only from the business perspective, but for our residents personally. So we did come through. Our occupancy across the board dropped by about 25%. So, you know, that certainly hurt the business. It stalled our growth. You know, in Venice, we were fully stabilized. We were building a waiting list, and we went from 92-93% down to about 70. So again, we certainly, you know, suffered financially from an occupancy standpoint during that time frame, but we also used the time, you know, to put in standard operating procedures for when communities opened up to be able to bring in new residents safely. So we have a number of protocols. You know, we have testing in place. Obviously, Abbott Labs came up with their 15-minute tests, which was great for all of our facilities. And we've now vaccinated the first level of vaccination for all of our communities as of two Sundays ago. And so we're going to go through our second phase here coming up. But, you know, same thing applies too. I mean, the flip side of that is, you know, we did open up our Delray Beach, Florida community in September of last year. And they've already had, I think, 35 units filled out of 120. So, you know, I think as a country, we're moving forward. I think there's, you know, there's some negative stigma around senior living towards the end of 2020 that I think we're now starting to come through, because people are realizing that, you know, it's probably safer to have your loved one in a beautiful senior living community, you know, with a high level of care, than it would be to have them at home, because you have so many people coming in and out of your home, whether it's kids or grandkids or, you know, parents or whoever it is. And so I think we're starting to come through that. And the one thing that, you know, COVID did not change for senior living is the fact that people are still aging. You know, there's 11 million baby boomers that are going to turn 75 from 2020 to 2030. And that's a 50% increase in our market demographics. So we're still very encouraged. We think, again, our, you know, high-level brands and communities like ours that bring in a high level of care are going to do real well as we come through COVID. But it definitely was a shock last year, you know, for the entire industry.
It's a difficult time. My mom is still in one of these facilities right now, because she suffered from a mini stroke, and she's recovering. And yeah, nobody can go in, nobody can go out. Unfortunately, it's like a jail box. When I talk to my mom, it's, God, you know, it's terrible. And it is a little depressing, but I mean, that's a safety protocol. If a senior person is at home with kids going in and out, yeah, the chances of them contracting the virus is much higher. So you're right, from a safety perspective.
Yeah, I mean, my entire family had COVID. You know this, but back in November, and we were completely asymptomatic. You know, so if I go to the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, I go see my mom and dad or my wife's parents. I mean, you know, same thing applies. You wouldn't even know you had it. The only reason we did know is my younger son was coughing, just kind of a dry cough for 7 days. My wife said, hey, look, if we're going to go see our parents for the holidays, we probably need to get him tested. And sure enough, you know, he was positive. But, you know, you really bring up a good point, Mike, especially with your mom, because there's actually research now that shows, you know, going back to June of last year, that seniors actually do deteriorate physically and mentally after being quarantined for a couple of weeks. You know, so it's not, you know, there's a reason that senior living communities put such a big emphasis on food and activities and engagement with seniors, because, you know, we all need engagement, but I mean, seniors, you know, need it more, especially when they need a high level of care, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Engagement. They need something to live for, in essence. If they're sitting in an isolated room and the people who come to see them are in full gear, that's a little depressing, we'll put it this way. So
it is, and that's one of the reasons that food is such a big driver in senior living. You know, I mean, most people don't realize it, but food, because these people, you know, lack mobility, in some cases they lack, you know, mental capabilities, and you know, food's a big part of their lives, and engagement's a big part of their life.
Yeah, it's a great point. Let's talk a little bit about, again, just go back to Tuscan Gardens. So you operate, I know you have a fund, and you operate a bunch of independent communities. Just mention a couple of words about that, and how would folks reach out to you if they were interested in this space?
Yeah, without a doubt. So the Tuscan Gardens Senior Living Fund is our primary source of equity investors. So my charge with Tuscan Gardens is, you know, introducing, you know, high net worth investors, family offices, you know, to the opportunity to invest with us. Bill Johnston, who's our CIO, CFO, works with the institutional investors on the senior debt side. And, you know, really the easiest way to follow us, you can go to TuscanGardens.com, which is our development site. And then TuscanInvestor.com is our investors portal. So, you know, if you want to get more information, you can certainly look us up at TuscanInvestor.com. All the offerings are up, and, you know, the project's a lot more depth about the industry as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Now let's just take a little bit deeper look into a life cycle of a kind of a project. And I know COVID disrupted everything. Things are very different now. So what's the outlook forward? What's a normal time for you to develop or redevelop a facility? Are you gravitating towards new development, or are you gravitating towards redevelopment of an existing one, repositioning? What do you see more opportunity in the post-COVID world?
Yeah, I mean, I think you really introduced a great point, because we are developers. We have phase two independent living projects in Palm Coast, Delray Beach, and then a full community up in Columbia in the pipeline. We hope to have all three of those under construction by the end of this year. But the real opportunity is acquisition, you know, not even repositioning. There was one facility or a community over in Tampa that was offered to us that was basically 70% built prior to COVID, before they shut down. So, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunities out there to acquire going forward. And I think that, you know, again, the PPP loans, I think have helped, you know, keep a lot of operators open that probably were not doing well prior to COVID. And I think that's where the real opportunity is in senior living to expand our brand very quickly would be through acquisitions.
Yeah, it makes sense. If you can acquire something below reconstruction cost, I guess I'll compare this to what we've been investing in, conversion of hotels to affordable multifamily housing. You can pick up a hotel well below reconstruction cost and convert. That's a whole lot cheaper. Same thing for you. If you can acquire as, you know, partially finished facility, yeah, and finish it, as long as you're buying it well below reconstruction cost, you're going in at a cheaper cost basis. So
yeah,
mathematically it should work. The other quick question is, what's the exit strategy on these? How do you sell them? Do you sell them to REITs? Do you sell them to, who is your typical buyer for a stabilized facility or senior living center?
Right. I think there's a couple answers to that. I mean, for us, you know, the three that we acquired them with a private equity group called Virtus out of Texas. And Virtus will probably be the group that is our, you know, exit strategy, and they'll probably end up buying us out of those projects eventually. You know, the others, you know, we would either recapitalize them or we would sell them off, I think, to some type of healthcare REIT. You know, four of the largest REITs in the entire world now are healthcare REITs, and they're looking for cash flow, as you well know. So I think that would be, you know, probably the goal would be to package these up. You know, with those types of investment dollars, they don't want to buy one or two. They want to buy 5 or 10. I mean, you know, the game with, you know, those big PE companies and REITs. So that would really be our goal, is to package them up and sell them off, and potentially also continue to operate them, because whoever's going to buy this type of, you know, senior living community is going to buy the brand. And I think they want to have consistency in that brand.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that operation is critical, because as much as people think of this as real estate, it is as much of an operating business.
More so.
Even more so. So.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, if you think about senior housing, Mike, you're operating a multifamily community, you're operating a restaurant, and you're operating a healthcare community. You know, I mean, it's not just like you're going up and building this apartment complex, and, you know, you have to really have a very high level of care. And, you know, again, we think our management team certainly does.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Just curious, what kind of a cap rate these, let's just say, packaged deals are trading? Because, yeah, there's economy of scale. If you're selling it to a bigger REIT that has access to cheap capital, they can pay a lower cap rate. I realize it's a very difficult to answer question. In the middle of pandemic, the volatility is through the roof, and the trading price is probably lower now. But just curious, pre-COVID, what these things were trading at? What kind of cap rate?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them as low as 5. And we're, you know, we run our models off of 6.5. But I mean, 5 to 5.5 is what they were trading at, you know, pre-COVID. And, you know, again, you know better than anybody, the commercial real estate is, you know, the value is based on the income, you know, whatever the income is that it's going to provide, you know, divided by the cap rate. It's a pretty methodical number. And, you know, senior living communities tend to have very high profit margins. When we first entered the business, there were, you know, NOIs of 35 to 39%. You know, they're very, very profitable communities. And, you know, we hope to get back to those days. You know, even if competition has brought that number down a little bit, it's still a very, very profitable industry.
So what occupancy rate? Just curious. So 30, 40% profit, what occupancy? What's the target occupancy?
We run ours off of 92% stabilization. So I've seen as high as 94, but, you know, again, you do have a high turnover in the business. You know, if you see we do market demographics. If we see competition that's, you know, sitting at 96, you know, 97% occupancy, we know that they're above capacity. You know, we know that's a good market to develop in. So we typically run pro formas at 92%. We're profitable in the high 60s to 70%. Yeah, so the rest of that turns into the drops of the NOI, you know, bottom line.
Yeah, that's the number I had in mind, break even, kind of mid to high 60s. And then the other question, just curious, with that high turnover on the economic sort of side, you said 40% sort of right. Is the annual turnover. How do you get average to be 3-year stay? I'm just trying to understand the mechanics. If you turn it over 40% per year,
right.
I guess 40% year one, 40% year two, if you did nothing, right? And yeah, I guess it maybe 2.5 years somewhere in that range.
Yeah, keep in mind too, you're talking about different levels of care. I mean, so with, residents that have Alzheimer's or dementia, their life expectancies are certainly a lot less. And again, they may be in a community for 1.5 to 2 years and they may turn over at 50%, whereas independent living is going to transition from year to year going up. So, you know, it's a little bit trickier to put a finger on what portion, but obviously, you know, depending on where they are on that age spectrum.
Yeah. And where do you source? Where folks come from? Do you market? Are there kind of other health facilities, doctors that basically send them over? How does that process work?
All of the above. So at a community level, you know, the executive director would have a salesperson inside the community that would be, you know, charged with community relations. So they would go to the hospitals, the doctors for referrals, the rehab facilities. Within our corporate office, we actually have a person that does all the social media for us. So a lot of people go online. They do Google searches. They look on Facebook. They look for, you know, recommendations from people they know. So we do have a social media person in-house. We have a separate marketing person in-house that puts together everything for us. And just, you know, by way of background, years ago when Tuscan Garden was started back in 2012, you know, 2013, we were originally using a third-party operator. With the thought that we would always bring operations in-house. About 2.5 years ago, you know, we did. I mean, nobody's going to run your facilities and your communities like you would, you know, as the owners. So, you know, we have a full marketing team at the executive level, at the corporate level, and also within local communities.
Yeah, it makes sense. I guess we live in the age of Facebook and social media, and probably kids are looking for the facility, not necessarily the parents.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and... I don't know if you ask for referrals, it's a tough one. Yeah. I guess it still works too. But if you take good care of somebody's parent, they're more open and willing to refer.
If you take care of people that doctors refer to, you get a really good reputation, and that kind of builds on itself. Early on, we were using some referral services where we would pay for leads, but we really don't use that, you know, much anymore because our communities have become a lot more established.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Sean, I appreciate your wisdom. Any best advice, any good book, any other thoughts, best ideas?
You know, I think when you look at senior living, it's a massive opportunity, you know, as you move forward, simply because this demographic shift that we're seeing with the baby boomers is creating just a huge need for senior housing. I know it's a little bit biased, but our founder, Larry Pino, actually wrote a book called Reinventing Senior Housing. He got his PhD from the University of Florida earlier part of 2020. So if you're looking for a good book, I think, you know, senior living is really changing a lot, especially with technology and telemedicine and what COVID has kind of forced upon the industry. But I think that's a really good book to get up to speed on. And yeah, I think most people would enjoy that read.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate your wisdom.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks,
so I would love to have you back one of these days and enjoy the sunny Florida. And
stay warm. Keep that back straight, man, when you're shoveling that snow up there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks,
thank
friend.
You.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fun Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFun.com or visit Amazon and type Mike's Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.